Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, June 17, 2019, at 1:30 p.m. We'll call this meeting to order, and we'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Centerball, followed by a pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Hall.
Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to deliberate the affairs of Jefferson County. We ask that you give us your divine wisdom. We ask that you give us your mercy when we fail. We ask that you protect all the families of Jefferson County, elected officials, and those that are serving our democracy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Begin our agenda today. The first thing I may is receive file bids for term contract professional control services for Jefferson County. I have bids to their approved specification. Turn invitation for bids for term contract for herbicides for Jack Brooks Regional Airport. Item C is consider approved award execute receipt file contract for food services department management services for Jefferson County Correctional Facility and Trinity Services Group, Inc. Item D is consider approved award execute receipt file acceptance of offer for term contract for pest control services for Jefferson County with Attaboy Termite Pest Control, Inc. is shown on attachment A. Item E is consider approved contract renewal for term contract for trash and biomedical waste container service for Jefferson County for a fourth and final 1 year renewal with Impact Waste LLC from June 25th, 2019 to June 24th, 2020. Item F is consider approved execute receive file contract renewal for term contract for trash and biomedical waste container service for Jefferson County for a fourth and final 1 year renewal with Republic Services Beaumont Stericycle Inc. from June 25th, 2019 through June 24th, 2020. Item G is considered an approved execute receive file contract renewal for on-call court reporting and transcription for the first 1 year renewal with Jan Ward and Associates LLC from July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. Item H is to consider an approved execute receipt file and contract amendment for a term contract catalog pricing for janitorial supplies for Jefferson County, which will assign catalog pricing for janitorial supplies to the Home Depot Pro. The Home Depot Pro Institutional and Supply Works has merged from Home Depot Pro Institutional. Do I have a motion on the item of purchase? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Centerball. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under Constable Precinct 2, we have one item to consider possibly approved determination of the interlocal cooperation agreement between Constable Precinct 2, Christopher Bay, Support Operating Independent School District regarding the absent student assistance project services provided to the Port Arthur Independent School District. Got a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Centerball. Any discussion?
Question. Did by any chance, do we have the number of offices? By any chance, do we have the number of offices that is assigned to this ASAP program?
I think we're down to four. Originally it's nine, but we haven't filled any of those positions since they've been leaving through attrition. So I believe we have four spots.
Down to four?
Yes.
Okay. How many offices he assigned as a council?
Just as a separate constable, I think he has two. Chief deputy and then an individual constable.
Okay.
Mr. Swain, as we go into a budget hearing, has the school district notified the county of any intent?
There were preliminary discussions I had back in February with the superintendent and their financial director on, they knew kind of the situation that was, this was coming, and that they were going to try to work with either another entity, possibly pour up the PD, or try to form something themselves.
So this wouldn't affect our budget discussions in any way?
No, it will, because We have treated this as a separate special revenue fund. We track this separate part from the cost of this individual budget. But considering, you know, closing this out, I think there's going to be some, there's going to have to be discussions with Port Arthur on how we're going to handle these vehicles they purchased for us. We've given them equipment with us. You know, if they're going to take it back over, I think, you know, those are things we consider to give to them. We also need to look if there is some separation of employment from those four positions, those constables, the deputy constables. We need to look and see what that final payout would be, because that would be the responsibility.
Thank you.
And they would that would be their financial responsibility for those plans.
In the contract, we've had language in there for them to set up a reserve for different uncompensated for the absence of vacation and the
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Airport, item A will be tabled in favor of identical almost item under risk management. Item B is considered possibly approved and authorized county judge to execute a pasture gradient lease between Jefferson County and John White pasture in Jackburg for regional airport. Do I have a motion on that? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Sinovall. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Under County Auditor, we have several items. Item A is considered approved budget transfer for the district clerk for replacement of the time and date stamp machine in the amount of $875. Item B is received file second amendment to the management agreement for Fort Park Entertainment Complex, Jefferson County Global Spectrum LP, DBA Spectrum Venue Management, providing the quantitative component of the extended fee under Article 3.1. Item C is considered approved electronic disbursement for $624.82 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for community insurance reimbursement. Item D will be held for a moment. Item E is received file financial and operating statements for county funds only for the month ending May 31st, 2019. And item F is regular county bill check numbers 460261 through 460529. That's a motion on items A, B, C, E, and F.
So,
moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Hall. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. Just for some clarification on B, what the amendment is going to actually
include. Oh, we passed it last week, but there was some confusion as they were calculating the first year's bonus, the payment that allowed them to.
That's fine.
Take into their calculation amounts that were paid to the artist, and we wanted to provide that to make sure that we had certainty moving forward. All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now back to item D. Item D is to discuss nationwide deferred compensation plan options and associated fees to employees for their account.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. This item, as you know, we have a 457 plan for the voluntary plan that our employees can contribute to for deferred compensation. It's not a county asset. They don't treat that as a county asset, but we are looking to just get you up to date on the proposal that was offered by Nationwide. I also have Eric Burson here. He's our Nationwide rep. But what the proposal, and this has been kicked around a little bit, but it's there's a little bit of incentive now. We have a fixed account that our employees can invest in. It pays 3.5%. Nationwide is looking to make a change to that and basically go to a investment where it's a guaranteed minimum interest rate, sort of a floor. And they would start out the current year at 2019 at 3.5%. There's some of the information I've passed along, it drops 0.5% each year, the floor does. That's not necessarily what would be correct. credits into that account, but that's the floor of that investment. We basically have three options as part of this change. Option one and two are to adopt this new guaranteed minimum interest rate investment and follow this schedule. There's a difference between option one and option two. Basically, option two is the same as option one, except it allows the employee to move more money on an annual basis within the funds. Right now, you're limited to about 20% of what you can move on an annual basis, switching on your fund. And option two, you get to do up to 40%. And along with either option one or option two, going to this guaranteed minimum investment, they've proposed to lower the fees that are charged on these different accounts. There was a fee schedule as part of the handout, and basically, right now, the way our current fee is, we pay roughly 55 basis points for what's called the primary investment. Secondary investment. If you have a really specialized investment, you charge 90 basis points. For us to go to this option one or option two, those fees would drop, what gets charged to the employee, those fees would drop to basically 10 basis points across the board. So this is the lowest fees, you know, we can see. So that's the trade-off of going to either option one or option two. The other third option that's kind of not mentioned is not to do anything. Just
in my backup.
Okay. So what would happen on option we're gonna say option three. We would still see a slight change in our fees, a slight decrease. But what would happen to, and this is where I'm probably gonna get Eric up here to make sure I clarify this. The current people that are in the fixed account, 3.5%, that money would stay there. But any new money being contributed as part of your paycheck would have to go to a different fund. They're just going to like lock that fund in at what it is now and not allow any more money to go into that fixed 3.5% fund. And then any new money that comes in would have to go to what's called our default investment fund, which you have to go select where to put your money that you use for the 3.5%. So it's kind of what we wanted to throw out there is that the trade-off with, and to back up a little bit, we have, the last one I saw was, this was as of 9/30/18, we had roughly $28 million total investment, and $10.6 million of that is in that 3.5% account. So people like that conservative 3.5%.
So in option one, the rate is at 20% moving money, right?
Yeah, that for moving
money. The floor is going to still drop.
Yeah, the floor is the same on option one or option two. The difference in, slightly two differences, but the difference between option one and option two, the big one is the ability to move money between the funds.
Well, that,
going from 20% to 40% on an annual basis.
Obviously, this question can be subjective because everybody's got a different sort of opinion, but you know, what best serves our employees and what do you think who knows? Right?
I mean, that's where, you know, if Eric, you know, you want to step up, introduce yourself. This is who everybody meets with.
I have a coach for us.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, how's it going today?
What is fine.
So I'm a local representative of the plan. So I harbor the relationship between Jefferson County and Nationwide, but I'm also the representative that sits down with all the new employees and all those about to retire. And we help manage those accounts over the years so they're retired with the dignity that they deserve. This is really a result of a very low interest rate environment. Nationwide has historically offered that 3.5% to all counties that we work with, despite that low interest rate environment. We know if we continue to do that, we're not going to be able to be as flexible on the plan pricing as we'd like to be. So we're really trying to kill two birds with one stone by offering you a competitive interest rate and also offering a lower those fees to a point that I think is going to be very competitive. All three options are attractive. I want to stress that the third option is to lock in a 3.5% fixed interest rate for all existing employees and any money currently being managed under that fixed account. The fixed account would then be walled off. All future investments would go to the plan's default investment account, which is a series of target date mutual funds that invest based on age.
Series of what?
Target date mutual funds that invest based on age. I know, as you said, matter of opinion, looking at the future health of the plan, that would make it very difficult for Nationwide to be flexible on plan pricing moving forward, having to pay that high interest rate on those existing assets. Option one and option two offer some flexibility in both areas. They offer lower pricing. Option one, you simply leave it Nationwide as stands to manage the interest rate down as the interest rate environment allows us to. And option two, you're paying an upfront premium of reducing the interest rate by 0.1% to allow participants to double the amount of money they can move out of the fixed account in a year on an annual basis. That applies to both plan level assets and participant assets. Option two has been a very popular option because it allows you to receive the best benefit of reduced pricing for the plan and gives participants the most flexibility to move their money as they see fit.
So they can move from 20 to 40.
Yeah, and we don't need to make the decision today. This was just, this discussion's been out there, and what the original, when it was first proposed, was I think we were just going to sit and just go to the default option. Because there's quite a few people, I mean, there's probably, that's a lot of money, almost 40% of the invested money is in that fixed account. So we do have now, I don't know.
It currently exists at that 3.5%. That's the floor. Is that the ceiling too?
As it stands right now, 3.5 is both the gross minimum interest rate, the floor, and it is the maximum.
Yeah, that's all
that you lock it in.
Now, these other ones, you're setting a floor, so there are, they could pay you more, I guess, depending on the market.
So, in both
but they can't put you any less.
Yeah. Eric, would you go back to your opening statement about the 3.5 being that was current investors in that account were locked in? Did the 3.5 going forward, or would it be diminished based on the scale that we adopt as
policy? On option three, 3.5 would be locked in only for the money that's currently in the account.
Right. But it's not going to adjust down on the existing interest rate.
That is correct.
You leave it in there for 10 years, it's going to lock in at 3.5.
That's correct. And that's why it creates such a tough environment for the whole plan.
We have 10.6 million tied to that in 2016?
Yeah, 30. This was as of 9/30. That's what I was showing.
Okay.
Nationwide fixed account. We had roughly 37% of the assets, but looked like almost 50% of the people. You know, but that's, you know, I could have a little bit fixed, you know, but I've got most everything else.
If existing investors have the 3.5 locked in, it's not going to affect them unless they were wanting to put new money into it, but they won't have that option if we went to that, unless they wanted a reduced interest rate going forward.
Correct. And going with that option three, there wouldn't be a new fixed account immediately offered. It would go to the default investment for the plan, which is somewhat generic in fashion. I also want to make something clear on option one and option two that's not entirely clear on the paperwork. Using both option one and option two, neither percentage rate is going to drop more than 0.12% per calendar quarter. So no more than 0.48% in a year. That means in 3 years, neither of those options would allow the interest rate to drop anywhere south of 1.98%, which is still a very competitive rate compared to most retirement plan offerings at the moment.
Yeah, they're correct.
So, the new plan, will they have choices of funds that they want to invest in?
The fund schedule available will still be available. Nothing is going to change with an exception of the fixed account.
Are they index funds or actively managed funds?
It is both, actually. It's a mix of the National Association of Counties menu. So they have a mix of index, international, large cap, small cap, bond, and everything in between. It's about 35 to 40 mutual funds.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm going to read through all this.
Yeah, that's, and I think some of the, correct, some of the newer funds that are kind of coming out are targeted to like a certain retirement day. Say you're looking at, I want to retire 20, 25, you know, they'll put you in a certain fund that structures towards that. Is that where
yes.
some of the newer investments are going?
Yeah, the younger people be in the growth funds and the older people be in the bond funds.
You got it.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get out there. We had this discussion when it first was proposed. But what's come back now is that lowering of the, you know, they've offered a proposal to lower the fees that is charged on those basis points on how you're invested in certain types of funds. And if you look on the schedule, the lowest, you know, 10 basis points across all of them.
Are all of the funds that y'all offer no load plan?
Correct. There are no sales charge. Those would be investor class funds.
But some do carry a higher fee than others. They're not all of them equal.
Not all equal, but under the new pricing schedule at 10 basis points across the board for all three investment classes, we would treat them as equal.
Okay.
That's usually
a mutual fund will still have charges.
The mutual fund will still have some sort of expense ratio, some sort of underlying charged by the fund.
12B1 fees.
Yes, that is correct.
So, and I guess I know in some of the paperwork going to the change, there was a date of April 1st, 2020, you know, on going to that. How long is the proposal for the fees?
The proposal for fees is good all the way through the end of the GMIR.
Okay.
So we would like.
So we have a little time to.
Whatever GMIR, whatever interest rate changes we implement, we would like to put in place by the beginning of 2020.
Have you forwarded this documentation to us through our agenda?
Yeah, it's probably no. I guess it's just going to be agenda.
It's going to be agenda.
Yes. Yeah, we get it off.
We'll get it back to 6 or 10.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get you that. Should have the fee schedule. We'll try to get it updated. If we can, I don't know if we can get a printout of the plan assets. Usually I get that quarterly, but see if we can grab one from the last quarter just to see. I doubt anything's changed as far as the amount of people in that investment.
Very good.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you want to see Eric, it's here Thursday. We'll talk to
him. All right. As the county commissioners, I may consider properly approving and accept the donation from Robust & Thomas PLLC in the amount of $250 to defray the cost of plate screens. Necessary items and small gifts for graduation of those who complete the family drug court treatment program pursuant to section 81.032 of the Texas Local Government Code. Item B is considered possibly approved and accepted donation. Kingdom Heavenly Touch Days by the amount of $60 individual gift cards as graduation gift for those who complete the family treatment drug court program pursuant to section 81.032 of the Texas Local Government Code. Item C is considered possibly approved and authorized the county judge to execute funding agreement between Jefferson County and the Texas Historical Commission for grant funds for development of an updated courthouse preservation master plan for the rehabilitation and restoration of Jefferson County Courthouse. Item D is received and filed and executed interlocal agreement between Jefferson County and the city of Fort Arthur pursuant to section 791.014 of the Texas Government Code. And item E is considered possibly approved, received, and filed annual audit of Jefferson County Emergency Services District Number 3, pursuant to section 775.082 of the Texas Health and Safety Code. The motion on those items done under County Commission.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hall.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Sandoval. Any discussion?
This is one question, Patrick, on these emergency services districts. I notice they come in various times. Shouldn't it be more uniform?
I'd have to go revisit the code, but I think there's a certain period.
They asked for an extension to the emergency services district.
I think as long as you get one.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under engineering, item A is execute, receive, and file an easement agreement with Enterprise PE Products Pipeline Company LLC for a 30-foot pipeline easement at Jack Brooks Regional Airport runway extension over 138.56 acres. Located in precinct 2. Item B is to execute, receive, and file an easement agreement with Enterprise TE Products for proposed. It should be a 30-inch pipeline, shouldn't it?
Yes.
30-inch pipeline. Easement at the Jack, or maybe the easement distance is 30 foot across. At the Jack Brooks Regional Airport runway extension, burdening 0.54 acres, located in precinct number two. Item C is considering possibly approving final plat of Briar Ridge Ranch Phase 1 out of the MEP Code Survey Section 34, abstract number 653, Jefferson County, located off Thompson Road in precinct number 1. It's not within any extraterritorial jurisdiction. It's met all of our planning requirements. Item D is considering possibly approving final plat of Briar Ridge Ranch Phase 2 out of the MEP Code Survey Section 34, abstract number 653. Located off Conklin Road, precinct number 1, which is also not within any ETJ, has met all of our planning requirements. Have a motion on those items.
Move.
Second by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under human resources, we have one item. A, considering possibly approving granting extended leave without pay for up to 90 days for Sherry Sutton, the 172nd District Court employee. Have a motion on that item. Moved by Dr. Weaver, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
And it gone through the process, Karen, where it's come to the department head and all?
Yes, sir.
Test? Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Risk management, we have one item, considering possibly approved renewal of the airport owners and operators liability coverage for A Property and Casualty Insurance Company effective June 1st, 2019. For an annual premium of $8,774 with a 3-year fixed premium policy option to be paid out of airport funding funds. Do we have a motion on that item?
Yes.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Next week, our regular agenda. Any issues that any member of the board wishes to bring it up without our taking action? If not, then that completes our agenda, and we are adjourned. Thank you for being here.